Well, it's exciting to talk to you today about Palm Sunday and why it's significant. Obviously, we can't get into every last detail about that, but it's something that we as a church want to acknowledge and value together because of who Jesus is and how much he matters to us. He's absolutely everything to us. And so we want to look at a passage in Luke. We've been working our way through the book of Luke here at Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church in the last little while. And so rather than look at some of the other passages that talk about Palm Sunday, we're just going to focus on one from the book of Luke in Luke chapter 19 today and talk about the significance of what Jesus has done. Jesus himself had a no turning back moment. There was a lot going on in his life. There's a lot of ministry and things that he was doing. But Palm Sunday is significant because he had a no turning back moment. Kind of like what Jackson Boone did today. God's been doing something in his heart. It's been at work for a while. As he said, it's progressive, but then he had to take a step and go public and cross a line, if you will. Jesus Christ did the exact same thing, a similar thing in the book of Luke. And we're going to talk about that today. And I have a question for you. Have you ever had a no turning back moment? Think about that for a minute. Maybe it was a relationship, a job, a situation that you're in. How many of you have been to West Edmonton Mall and gone on the mind bender? Anyone here? Right? There's some no turning back moments right there. We were helping out with youth a couple weeks ago, and the kids were like, hey, we're going to go on the mind bender. Come and watch us. And so, you know, they're in the line, and we're up on the bridge, if you've ever been there, and we're looking down, and they're waving and, you know, taking pictures. But then, you know, the cart gets there, and it's time to sit down. And then click, and then click, 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 click. Right? That's like the worst part ever. No turning back. No turning back. Maybe you've been in a situation like that in your own life, a no turning back moment. Friends, I want to talk to you about that today because there are real no turning back moments in life with God that we must respond to. There's a time with Jesus, there's a time with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, where, you know, it's okay to be doing the selfie, goofing off in the line, but at some point, we're going to have to make a decision. At some point, we're going to have to get in the cart, have the harness go down, and click, 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 away we go. That happens in some ways, and it keeps on happening in life. God is so gracious, so kind that he's going to doing those kinds of things in your life while you have breath in your lungs, as we sang about this morning, to respond to him and to go to new places with him. To have no turning back moments with Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 19. If you have it on your phone, go there. There's Bibles in the seat rack in front of you. You can grab one of those. My page number is 878 and 879. So it's the Gospel of Luke. And there's a lot going on as Jesus enters Jerusalem. And as this Holy Week, as it's been called, gets kicked off. Well, we're just going to focus on a few verses here about some of the significance. I want to read it and then just unpack it with you. Verse 28. And when he had said these things, so Jesus had been teaching a parable. We talked about the parables last week and how there's truth in story that helps us understand who God is. So he's just been teaching a parable. He went on ahead. I want you to pay attention to the movement and the motion and the direction and things that are going on with Jesus here. He went on ahead, so he's moving. Going up to Jerusalem, that's his destiny. Verse 29, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, so those would have been on the outskirts, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one else has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. So they're making him a saddle on this little donkey. It was probably just with its mother. And at that time, instead of rent a car, like budget or something, you could rent a donkey for transportation. So this little donkey was up for hire for Jesus. We don't know if it was he was telling something that he was aware of in his divinity. Most likely, he had maybe made pre-arrangements to ride on this donkey. And so that's very significant. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Here they are. They're making a saddle for him. Verse 36, and as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. This was a common practice when a king would be coming into a city for his inauguration. They would be spreading things out, and in other parts of the Bible, as we, you know, have the palm branches, they were waving things out and putting things down, waving things out and putting things down, preparing the way for the king to come into the city. They spread their cloaks on the road as he was drawing near, already on the way down. So here he is, he's moving, he's riding, he's on the way down the Mount of Olives, and he could see into the city of Jerusalem. And as he's moving, anticipation is growing. There's a rush in the crowd of expectation and excitement. He's moving. These things are happening. And then in verse 37, it says, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Most likely, there was, yes, the close-knit disciples, but then there would be, you know, kind of circles and rings of groups of people. There's a lot of pilgrims heading into Jerusalem at this time of year. So potentially there was thousands of people. And they're all excited about who this was riding in on this donkey. And it wasn't just because it was a donkey or anything like that. It was because of who it was. They knew that he had been around Galilee and Capernaum, casting out demons, healing the sick, multiplying loaves and fish. Something powerful was at work through this one. And he had been doing these mighty deeds. And now he is crossing a line, no turning back, heading into Jerusalem to claim his throne. They're rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So they had been witness to it. Saying, verse 38, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This would have been from the book of Psalms, used only when royalty was around and royalty was being crowned. Notice in verse 38 how the tone quickly, for just a moment, changes. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, so they must have wormed their way up to Jesus on his donkey. Says a lot of people. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Shut them up, please. Come on, we're being a bit dramatic here, don't you think? Look at verse 40 with me. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. What's happening here is so massive that even if you just try and shut these humans up, stones that can't talk will explode with praise. Something amazing is happening in these moments. I want you to see Jesus, the Christ, the one and only Son of God, Son of Man, sovereign. On this day, in this time, he's on the move. At exactly the right time and exactly the right place and exactly the right moment in history, sovereign over history, the Father knew that his Son was going to go into the city on that day. Sovereign, exactly, precisely, perfectly planned and plotted. That was the day, sovereignly. The King of Peace has come. King, Yeah, they're acknowledging that he's king. But it's not often that I say, and pay attention to the donkey. Okay? Pay attention to the donkey. Normally, when a mighty messianic king was riding into the city, you know, it'd be a big, muscly, white war horse. And he's coming to, you know, do some stuff. Right? But here he is. This is meant to mess with us, and it's a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9. He will come in riding on a donkey. A person of peace, a king of peace, doesn't go the war horse route. He goes the little colt donkey route. And that's a message of the Messiah and who he is and what he's coming to do. I want you to see that. Jesus the Christ, sovereign over all time and history. King. Yes, king. High. Exalted. Son of God. Of peace. Coming to accomplish peace through what he's about to do. He's come to claim his throne. And the people were anticipating that, but they didn't know what it was going to be like. Jesus, I want you to see why this story is significant. That this is a no turning back moment, a hinge moment in the life, ministry, work of Jesus the Christ. A hinge moment, a crossing over, a no turning back. He's been ministering, he's been teaching, he's been doing, he's grown up. Here he is. All these things are happening kind of on the outside. But as you follow the whole narrative, the story of Luke, his destiny is Jerusalem because his destiny is the cross. And his destiny is the Redeemer, King of Peace. This is a hinge moment in Jesus' life. But not only that, this is a hinge moment for all of heaven. We see somehow by the Holy Spirit in verse 38, these people who are shouting out that heaven itself, there's peace in heaven because of what Jesus is going to accomplish. Heaven is looking at this time, this very day that Jesus is working, and there's peace in heaven because of what Jesus, who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. Friends, this hinge moment is so powerful. And you know, we're just reading a few verses in this Bible, but that all of the cosmos will be changed because of what Jesus is doing here. Literally, anything that's ever been made, all of heaven, all of creation, all the cosmos is different because of what Jesus is doing in this no turning back moment. Nature itself is going to explode with praise if they won't sing. And friends, someday nature will explode with praise for the King. All nations for all time, because of this hinge moment, are touched by this. All of humanity for all of time, the was, the is, and is to come, is touched by this no turning back moment of Jesus the Christ. We see the gospel here, friends. We see that God is faithful to his promises. We see that he said he would send a deliverer. And we've looked at passages from like Isaiah that talks about 700 years prior that there will be a freedom fighting king that's coming to set the captives free. And God fulfills it through Jesus. He has done it. There's a no turning back sense of the gospel. I don't even know. Words fail me today. Words literally fail me today to try and capture the idea that all that is permanently impacted by this moment. Do you feel the weight of that? Every molecule in your body, every piece of your soul, every soul that's ever existed, every person ever, every aspect of creation literally is changed because Jesus rode in on a donkey and he went to a cross and he died and he rose. Literally everything forever is impacted by this moment. That is true. Do you see the gravity, the immensity of that today? All that is permanently impacted by this moment. Look at what Jesus has done. Yes, he's been ministering, and those things are good. What he is doing in this moment, he's riding in to claim his throne. He's going to die on a cross. They don't really understand what he's going to do. Spat upon, scourged, crown of thorns, pierced in the flesh. That's just the physical elements. Imagine the torment of being separated from God, your Father. Not only that, imagine you're fully innocent, and then the wrath of Almighty God is poured out onto you. They don't get that. They're singing. They're praising. Blessed are you, Jesus. But something way bigger is at work. Not only that, Jesus is alive right now. This Christ is doing something today. This Palm Sunday, the living one who changed all of history is doing something right now. And he wants women and men, boys and girls, right here, right now, to have a no turning back moment, because he did not turn back. That's the gospel. God is faithful to his word. Jesus the Christ changed everything for all of time, every person for all of time. How will we respond? He is humble. He is peace. He is sovereign. He's going to die. He has done this. He has died. As we stand in 2017 and look back, this is amazing to me. This is truly amazing to me. This reality of what Jesus has done, there is nothing ever, ever that can undo Jesus riding into the city, undo the cross, undo the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Never, ever. No turning back, no undoing it. Do you believe that today? We must have and keep on having. So how do we apply this to our own lives? We must have and keep on having no turning back moments with this Jesus. And this is a season of grace. He has accomplished this. And now he's saying, I want you to have no turning back moments and follow me, the sovereign King of Peace. How can we keep having no turning back moments? Well, we can join the overwhelm that we see with these disciples here. They're overcome. They're overwhelmed by what they anticipate about Christ. They celebrate that he's on the move and that he's going to accomplish something and he's going to claim his throne. Friends, today you can join the overwhelm with these disciples that we see. And we can do it today. We've been singing some wonderful songs. We've been seeing a great example of Jackson saying, I'm going, I'm crossing over. No turning back. Join the overwhelm. Tremble at the irony of the Pharisees that you see here. Can you imagine? This is the Christ, the Son of God, and everything is bubbling up and exploding with praise for who he is. And they're like, we got to keep this quiet. We gotta hold this back somehow. Friends, small, paltry, temporary, narrow-minded, hard human beings that are harder than the rocks that will explode with praise are trying to hold back the King of Glory. That's ironic. We cannot control or stop Jesus. You cannot. You will not. We cannot control Jesus. We can't stop him. So let's praise this King. Friends, this is the season of grace that we're in right now. Because Palm Sunday actually anticipates another no turning back moment of Jesus. One day, right now, he's with the Father, and the Father knows. The Father has a day in mind where Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to ride out, and it's not going to be on a little donkey. All of heaven will be torn open, and he will arrive. Every eye will see, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a no turning back moment coming for Jesus. It is coming very soon. And so we're in this time of grace to say, okay, I'm going to change things because you're coming again. You've given me an opportunity, and I'm going to do something about it right here, right now. Friends, there is a day where he is going to ride out, and he's coming as Lord and King of eternity forever. Do you believe that? Are you going to do something about that today? Jesus, sovereign King of peace, has come, and he will come to claim his throne. It's just a matter of time. God, save now. Hosanna. Maybe it's you. Maybe you need to pray that for yourself today. Maybe there's a situation around you, and you need to just plead with God to do a saving work there. Where might it be? All of heaven is impacted by this movement of Jesus. All of the cosmos, quite literally. And I know you're like, but I don't want to think about that on a Sunday morning. Friends, all of the cosmos, because of what Jesus has accomplished, is affected by this. All of nature, all of the nations, all of humanity. And then he wants to bring it right down. And he wants us to listen and pay attention. Us. Me. What will we do with this King of glory? How can we have these no turning back moments in a new way? This is a season of grace where we can turn from our own ways, our own selfishness, and go his way.